started about 10 years ago when I found a record from my hometown of Jacksonville, a record by the Lost Souls on Leopard Records. It was on a compilation that I'd bought. This label, Arf Arf Records, out of Massachusetts, they put out the CD called No No No, and it had a label from the Lost Souls on it, and it had a stamp that read Jacksonville, Arkansas. So that kind of piqued my interest. I ended up finding the group, and from talking to them, I got curious about what else was in Arkansas. There had been another compilation from 99 that focused on My Records, M-Y, out of Little Rock. They were kind of a cult garage label, and I'd been interested in garage music for years, but didn't really know about local stuff until that compilation, and I figured that had summed up everything, except Lost Souls weren't on there. So that kind of led me to looking for more, you know, and so that's what led eventually to the first compilation.
So in that search over the years, describe for us the amount and the breadth of Arkansas music from that era that you found.
Well, there's so many little towns that they all had, you know, their Beatles clone or whatever, you know. The Beatles and the whole British invasion just sparked this creativity, you know, amongst these young people at the time, and there were bands from all over. Now, what's funny is a lot of them weren't aware of each other, you know. So I'm kind of putting them all together in a way that, you know, they weren't even aware at the time. But yeah, the breadth, it goes all across the state, and far beyond the state. There's pretty much every state had bands like this, you know. And there were also, you know, soul groups and many other types of groups, too. But my main focus has been the mid-60s to the early 70s, what they would call garage rock, which kind of formed into psychedelic rock by the end of the 60s. And then by the early 70s, the movement had pretty much come to an end. Although there were still bands, that kind of drive to form your own band, and I think like the Beatles and a lot of the British Invasion, they inspired groups because they looked like them. You know, it looked, instead of Elvis or something, where that you just have this single character. You know, there's only one Elvis. You know, although there were many imitators, but still, this kind of concept that anyone can play guitar that the Beatles brought and the other groups kind of fueled this whole movement, you know, and there were probably more bands than ever, you know, in this time, and that's kind of one reason I keep finding material from the 60s, even from Arkansas, which was isolated at the time, really.
Tell us about what was the process like back in that era for bands to get their music recorded? Were there mom and pop labels? Did they do this independently? How were they making these recordings?
So there were basically a few areas, you know, where you could go to record your record. There was a studio in Concord, Arkansas, run by Wayne Rainey, you know, a famous country harmonica player, and he had a studio there that a lot of bands in the region and even a few out of state went to, and they had their own record pressing plant there too, and they made untold hundreds of different records there. And you'll see a lot of different labels. Many of these labels are custom labels where they're all recording basically in the same few studios, but they are putting their own label on there. So it appears like there's a lot more going on, basically. But it's just these few studios. There were two in Little Rock. For your Everyman would go to Jagger's recording studio, which for a low rate you could, you know, produce a demo of your band, and then you would leave the studio with an acetate record, which was just a one-off record, you know. And then others were produced, you know, up to 500 copies of a 45. A lot of them pressed there at Concord, no matter what the studio, since that was really the only record player, the only record pressing plant in Arkansas. And then many, you know, went to Memphis as well, especially if they were in that area.
I'm speaking with Harold Ott, the owner of the Psych of the South record label based out of Little Rock, a label that is devoted to re-releasing music from the 1960s and early 70s by Arkansas garage bands. So you've obtained these recordings, I assume, from a variety of different ways. I mean, what are some of the ways you've gotten a hold of some of these records?
Well, when I first started the project, one of my top priorities was to try to find all the living label owners, you know. So I went about, I spoke to Joe Lee there in Jonesboro, Earl Fox here in Little Rock, and that was kind of the beginning of finding them, mass quantities of the records anyway. And then finding each band also. Like, I had a list of records that I had partially compiled, and then I'd gone on to online forums that focused on garage music and asked for help, basically. And I assembled this list of a want list, basically. And as I'm finding these records or traces of the records online, I would find a label, and it might have a name or two on it. And then I would just go about going through the white pages, searching online for these names. A lot of times where the trail is cold 40, 50 years, you know, and just do cold calls for the bands. And that's another way I found many of the records, along with, you know, record stores, online auctions. Then I kind of formed a network of local collectors. So when they found something, they would know to call me.
Well, that was going to get to one of the questions I was going to ask you about. Is there any particular recording that you're seeking that you really, really want, but you've not obtained a copy of it yet?
Well, the thing that surprises me most is the records that I've never heard of, you know, that pop up. There was, Wild Man and the Brutes on ARC Records was a recent one that I had never heard of before. And then my friend Bill here at the Arkansas Record Exchange, a mint copy came in, and he called me, and I was looking at it like, wow, you know, okay. So I'm continually stunned every so often anyway by a record that I've never even heard of, which is great, you know. And I hope there's many more like that. Now, there are some that I haven't been able to find any information on the bands that keep me up at night, basically. there was one label called Continental Records that was based out of that studio and pressing plant in Concord. But I'm not sure where the bands came from. No one seems to remember them that I've talked to so far, anyway. And bands like the Sunset Society and the Mark IV continue to be mysteries.
You simply can't find out any information about who's in these bands or anything about them?
Yep, that's right. Now, I have some background information as far as there was another artist on the label, Harold Morgan was his name, and I spoke to him and got some general information about the label, that I know that it was one of Wayne Rainey's labels. But as far as, you know, members of each band, you know, they've been elusive.
Well, let's talk specifically about this band, the Playboys.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about them?
Well, they existed earlier than many of the bands that I have focused on before. And they formed in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, and they're a group of teenagers, basically, who loved R&B music, and they kind of idolized this early 60s rockabilly musician, Johnny Tolleson, who had a record out on the Chance label out of Fayetteville. And he would tour around and came to Pine Bluff and inspired this group. And unlike many of the groups I've described, the Playboys played throughout the region. And the recording I'm focusing on is in Monticello. Many of these bands, they may have played some outside their town, but the Playboys in particular played out a lot. And they were a popular group at the time throughout the region. And many of the players went on, you know, to play in other bands later. The singer on the CD in the live performance, his name was Tommy Riggs. At the time, he's going by Tom Payton. But he was a DJ on KAAY later. He had many other records and did extensive touring in the 70s. He was a well-known singer, especially here in Little Rock. He had a residency at Cajun's for years, and he passed away in 2000. But the Playboys were unique in that they played so far out of their region. And they were also an example of music just before the British invasion changed everything, which you don't hear often on a live recording, which is what I'm featuring here.
Well, and it's a live recording that the quality from the time period of such a, you know, seven members in the band, it's a really good recording.
Great. Yes, thank you. I was surprised by the balance of everything. I mean, you know, when you think about it being from 1963, recorded on a mono, reel-to-reel tape recorder, just live even, most likely with one microphone, because many of the, you know, a lot of the recording setup at the time wasn't exactly high-tech, you know, and even each instrument on stage wouldn't have been mic'd the way it would be today. So it's part luck, part mic placement, and that's just, you know, they had a more balanced sound, I think. But yeah, there's some luck involved, I think, in the balance of the recording. And the guy who recorded this, he was also a DJ, Charlie Ockel was his name, and he has a massive tape collection that that I purchased when he passed away a few years ago, and this was in that collection.
Would you say that the Playboys were a little bit better than your typical teenage garage band of that era? I mean, I was impressed by listening to the recording.
Yes, I would say, especially, you know, the guitarist Bill Dunham, he's doing runs that I was very surprised at 1963. This is, you know, years before Jimi Hendrix or anything like that. And just his speed and agility, and, I mean, the band's really rocking. And this the style they're representing, I mean, you got to think about these are, you know, teenagers in love with Ray Charles music, you know. It's a unique bunch, for sure.
So, what kind of feedback have you gotten from the surviving members of the Playboys about releasing this, you know, vintage recording?
They've been very positive about it. One of the guys, Jack Hendricks, I actually knew through work for years, and actually did some photos of the band before I'd even heard them. And they had a reunion in Pine Bluff several years ago that I attended, and they've been very supportive. And I've shocked a few of them that they, I think they doubted that these recordings existed, but here's the proof.
So what makes these recordings, again, just appealing to just someone who'd never heard of the Playboys? Why would someone want to listen to this particular recording?
Well, it rocks, for one, you know.
It does.
And Yeah, if you think about it in the historical context, you know, it's a unique document, especially of Arkansas. And, you know, I mean, like I said, there were bands throughout the country, but there's a sweet spot in Arkansas, and which falls on the other side of the river, too, in the Mississippi Delta. I mean, this is a rich area for music that had lasting impacts on the music that followed as well. And then just before this was the rockabilly movement, and you can hear traces of that in the Playboys, too. So it makes for a unique mix of influences, and, you know, then you can hear how the music progresses after the Playboys and how it changed so much, you know, with the British invasion.
Last question for you is, any other future projects that you've got working on? Any other recordings that you're planning to release in the future on the Psych of the South label?
Yes, so far I've done 4 volumes of my Lost Souls series, which gathers garage and psychedelic music from throughout the state. And so I'm working on Lost Souls Volume 5 now, and I plan to release that later this year. And I put a lot of work into finding, as you can imagine, you know, we're over 100 songs in, you know, with Volume 5. And so it gets harder and harder to find material, but then I'm continually surprised at the quality of what I find. And, you know, I'm motivated to release more. So Volume 5 is on the horizon.
Well, you're certainly doing a great service for music fans and, again, just documenting this wonderful music from the state of Arkansas from the past.
Great. Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's rewarding, too. I was in a band myself in the 90s, and so I can relate, you know, to the dreams. And then, of course, many of them didn't make it. really, none of them did, yeah. Honestly. And, you know, it's... to any musician who's been in bands and dreamed that dream, you can relate to these bands, you know. And a lot of that garage band, you know, that you had in high school or something, the